I'm Gary Colley, your regular speaker on the program, and we're happy again today to have each and every one listening. We're always delighted to have our visitors at the Churches of Christ, and we want to say a word of welcome to each of you and a cordial invitation to return at every opportunity that you have. We, of course, must be busy about our Father's business, and we believe that those who are earnestly interested in learning the Word of God can indeed do so. We must have an open heart, we must have a ready mind, but when these are present, then certainly the God of heaven will give us strength and give us courage and open the doors of opportunity by His Word. Why does God allow suffering and grief in the world? I'm sure that this must come from one who has felt the pangs of grief and of suffering. And certainly it is true that suffering and grief are in the world. Oftentimes, God is blamed for these things, and we need to think seriously before we blame God with those things which man has brought to pass upon himself. Into the lives of all, I suppose, grief and sorrows do come. Rain must fall, and we all realize that the longer we live, the more we understand. There are loneliness and despair to be dealt with by all men in this life. There is sickness, there is pain, there's agony and distress and suffering, and so often there is death. And the Christian learns to rejoice, even in tribulation. No, it's not always easy, but it is that which we're commanded to do. It is said in Romans 5:3-5, and not only so, but we also rejoice in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh steadfastness, and steadfastness approvedness, and approvedness hope. And hope putteth not to shame, because the love of God hath been shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which was given unto us. Now we need to ponder often the values of suffering. Is it well for us to suffer? And can we be benefited by suffering? David said, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep thy word." Psalms 119:67. He said further, "It's good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn thy statute," Psalms 119:71. Another gentleman said, "When it is dark enough, you can see the stars." And that brings out the thought that when things of grief and horrors of those things of the sorrows that come our way are so dark, we're able to also see the stars, the blessings that God has to offer. Browning said, "I walked a mile with sorrow, and ne'er a word said she. But oh, the things I learned from her when sorrow walked with me." There was a certain man in Bethany named Lazarus. He was the brother of Mary and Martha, as you'll recall. And Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. He enjoyed going to their house, and he could get away from the throngs and always find love there. And upon one occasion, while the Lord was away, Lazarus became sick. Mary and Martha sent a word to the Lord, "Behold, he whom thou lovest is sick," not even mentioning his name, but knowing the Lord would know who it was. Now when Jesus heard it, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, and that the Son of Man may be glorified thereby." We realize the miracles of our Lord were in order that the Word of God might be confirmed. Many other signs, John 20:30-31 says, were done in the sight or presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that ye may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing ye may have life through his name. Surely we all realize that the Son of God affirmed and confirmed the fact that he was from heaven by the miracles which he did. And so he offered grief-stricken people the sympathy which they were so needful of. We shall continue our thoughts on tomorrow. We're glad you've been with us. We're happy to have this question in order that we may answer it for you.